Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, it's our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we're very glad that you're listening in today. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions and comments, we would love to hear from you. And that number is 347-850-1100. Again, 347-850-1100. And I'm really happy today to introduce our guest. We are speaking with Gabe Breezendine. Gabe, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm looking forward to the information that you have. I think it's going to be really important for our listeners to hear your story. And, you know, today we're talking about how you received the gift of motherhood from a couple of brave young women. So if you don't mind, could you just maybe share with us your personal background with adoption?
Absolutely. I also want to thank you for having me on the show today. I'm really excited. And I would say that our adoption journey started probably, I'm going to say, like around 2010. My husband and I had been trying to get pregnant, and we went to a doctor, and they kind of told us, you know, everything mechanically is good within you guys, and you're kind of at the point where you could go down the road of, you know, doing some drugs, or maybe do in vitro, or the other option is you could look into adoption. And I always say that it was meant to be, because my OB doctor adopted all three of his children actually through Adoption Associates. And so I strongly felt like God was calling us to adoption. And so we started that process, and it, you know, we went through, I think our first meeting, we just kind of went to an informational meeting, and we heard what adoption was all about. And that really got us thinking about, you know, is this something that we can see ourselves doing? And we absolutely did. So we started the home study process, and, you know, the interviews and all of those things, which I always tell people, if that's something that you're nervous about, not to be nervous at all, because it really was, I like to talk. So it was just like talking about yourself. So it really was not that bad. But once we, you know, were approved with our home study, we were so excited, and our friends threw us this big, you know, celebration dinner, and we had cake, and we were kind of like officially on the waiting list. And so, that's kind of how adoption came into our life. And then, obviously, then we ended up bringing home two children through adoption. And so we feel completely blessed by having both of them in our life.
And those were two separate adoptions, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yep. So we have our first child, Jonas, is 5. So we brought him home in 2011. And then I ended up getting pregnant. And when we were waiting, we had actually gone through the adoption process again, and we're waiting to be linked with a family. And I got pregnant, and we had our daughter Maisie in 2013. And then we brought home our son Ezekiel in 2015 through adoption. So we always knew that we wanted to adopt again. The whole process, everything about adoption was so positive for us, and we just knew that was the road we wanted to go down. And when I got pregnant, God had a different plan for the way our family was going to look, but we knew we wanted to adopt again.
Awesome. So you talked about, you know, the home study process a little bit, and then you had a period of waiting. What was that time frame for you?
You know, I feel like it was really short. We waited for about 4 months, and which really isn't too long. You know, obviously when we started our adoption process with you guys, I think it was, you know, we were told like it could be a year from kind of like starting the process with the home study and all of that, and then until you were, you know, maybe contacted to be linked with a birth family. And so it was only 4 months, which really wasn't that long for us.
Right. No, that's very quick. So, and for your second adoption, what was that time frame like?
That was about 6 months. So again, it was not very long at all. And looking back through every single step of the way, it was what was meant to be. I know when we were waiting to be linked with a family, when I ended up getting pregnant with Maisie, it was like 8 or 9 months. And I was like, wow, that seems really, really long. But then obviously God had a different plan. So that's why that seemed long. I mean, overall, the waiting, it's kind of an exciting period because it's like you could get that phone call at any moment and it could be, you have a baby, and that's exactly what did happen with Jonas and also with Ezekiel, because they had both already been born when we received the phone call.
Okay, so talk about that then. The day that the phone rang, the call came, what was going through your mind? What was this all about?
Oh, goodness. Well, it was with Jonas. We were driving home from church, and this is a moment I will never forget. We were driving home from church and we had to pull the car over because we were so excited. I don't even remember who we talked to now, but I just remember we pulled over and whoever we were speaking with said, can you put Kat on speakerphone? Because I had answered the phone. And so we pulled over the car, put it on speakerphone, and she said that, and I could cry right now. I mean, it's just so exciting. She said that you have a baby boy. And I think at the time he was about 8 days old, and she shared, you know, the circumstances around his birth and that he was healthy, and we were so excited. And one of the best pieces of advice that you guys had given to us was to write everything down. And so I wrote it on a napkin because we didn't have any paper in the car, and I literally have that napkin with everything, because that moment, you know, you'll never get to have that back. And so in that moment, your mind is just going like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is really happening. And, you know, that's just a lot of, you know, emotion. And then with Ezekiel, I had actually just put Maisie and Jonas to bed, and same thing. I will never forget. It was a school night. It was like 9 o'clock at night, which was so weird that my phone was ringing and I was awake. I'm usually in bed by like 8 o'clock, but, we received a phone call from Paula, and she just said, you know, you guys have been linked with a birth family, and it's a baby boy. And we were just obviously so thrilled because, I mean, we thought, how cool would this be if we could have a little boy or girl? We just were, either way, we were just excited. But
sure.
And again, I this time I typed it on my iPad because I didn't have paper. So I typed everything on my iPad again, like, you know, how much he weighed and that and, you know, the situation, any of those things. And, but it was just so exciting, both of those things. And to have that memory and to be able to share that with our kids is so cool. You know, Ezekiel's not quite old enough, being only one, but Jonas loves to hear Ezekiel's adoption story. So both of those are just really exciting times in their life.
And we love to hear that from you, to hear the excitement and the emotion behind what that phone call feels like on your end. So thanks for sharing. That's really special. What are your thoughts and feelings about agency support and services that maybe you did or did not receive during your wait and during the placement? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I think that you guys are amazing. One of the things that's been, you know, a little different in our life is that since we have started bringing adoption into our life through church, through just kind of outreaching to other people, we've met lots of people who have adopted, and they've adopted through different agencies or maybe even the same agency. But what we love about Adoption Associates is the fact that there is so much support for not only adoptive parents, but most importantly to me is for the birth parents. I know that I'm a teacher and education is extremely important to me. And you have always, you know, kind of prompted us as adoptive parents to be seeking out and learning more. And I know that with, you know, both of our birth mothers, that you have been there for them as far as supporting them emotionally and, you know, I mean, just being that shoulder for them, because I know that with our with Ezekiel's adoption, there was, you know, some time that we weren't sure what was going to happen, if he was going to be coming home, when he was going to be coming home and things like that. But I know that our birth mother, she would totally say that you guys were supportive of her. And I think that you guys have went above and beyond what I was expecting, you know, as far as questions and what to expect, it's all laid out, which is great because, you know, I like to plan and I like to know what's going to happen. And there are some things that you have, like the waiting, you know, you have no idea when that's going to happen, but you guys were great about keeping us up to date. And, you know, these are some things that have been happening within the, you know, monthly, we would get like an email from you. You know, your profile has been shown this many times, or, you know, just kind of knowing that the process is still going on, even though you're waiting. And I think that's important to know, probably from both sides, you know, from being an adoptive parent, but also a birth parent, that things are still happening even while you're waiting.
Of course. Absolutely. So I do want to note that each of those, the two adoptions that you and your husband have completed, were different in terms of openness. One being closed, mm-hmm. and one being open, obviously not by your choosing. That was the birth mother's choice about the type of adoption she was looking for. But I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts about how you view the differences in these two types of adoptions.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that I want to say first that both of our adoptions, like you said, were by the choosing of the birth mother, and we respect both of their choices. With our oldest, it is we send his birth mother pictures and letters, but you know, it's other than that, it's pretty much closed, and we don't know that she gets the pictures and letters because I think she's moved, and that makes it difficult for us to get those to her. And then with Ezekiel, his adoption is open. In fact, we are going to see his birth mother this weekend, and so it's different in the sense that Jonas is older, and he asks questions that we don't always have answers to, as far mm-hmm. as, you know, what was his birth mother like and things like that. But what we always tell him is that the decision that she made was made out of love, and that does not mean that because, you know, she chose to have a more closed adoption doesn't mean that she didn't love him. And he gets it. I mean, I know he's five, but it's amazing how much he understands and how much he himself loves her. We have her picture in his bedroom, and he talks about her all of the time and, you know, how beautiful she is and how he looks like her. And so I'm thankful that we were able to meet her. Mm-hmm. But they are very different. And again, it's what we believe is what was meant to be. And you never know what the future is going to hold. We may end up meeting up with Jonas's birth mother at some point in his life when she's ready and when the time is right. And as far as having an open adoption with Ezekiel's birth mom, it's so cool. It's just amazing. I having this constant communication with her and, you know, being able to interact with her and kind of share what he's doing, and honestly the love that she has shown not only to Ezekiel but to Maisie and to Jonas, it's amazing for me to see that this, to me, young woman can have so much love in her heart. And I'm honored that we have the ability to be, you know, friends with her and that she's a part of our life. So yeah, they're different, and it is difficult to explain that difference to the kids, but no, without a doubt, that even though we don't see Jonas's birth mother, that he knows that we send her pictures, we send her letters, and we talk about her all of the time. So,
mm-hmm. That's really important, really important. So, you know, one thing that is unfortunate that we hear oftentimes from birth parents is the guilt and the shame and the unplanned pregnancy and all that comes from that. And sometimes that transitions into our community as well in terms of, you know, the views of who is a birth mother and what is a birth mother. Would you share, and you touched on it just a little bit, but your feelings about that, about birth parents and the choice that they've made?
Yes, I think that, you know, and I kind of talked to my husband about this last night, and we, like I said, we talk about it all the time because these two women are absolute heroes to us, and they have given us the greatest gift. And I think that what is important for people to know is that every single adoption situation is different, and every decision that a birth mother makes will be the most difficult decision they've ever made. And whether they are going into it thinking, you know, right from the get-go that this is what they want to do, and they want to make an adoption plan, or they're kind of hesitant. And I, as an adoptive mom, am frustrated, like you said, with sometimes the way that society views birth mothers, because I think what we need to remember is that they are making an amazing choice. There are other choices that they could make, and instead they are making a completely selfless choice to make an adoption plan for their child, and that there are people who are going to be blessed by that choice that they've made. We love both Lakia and Haley so much. We just think that they're both amazing, and our children think that they're amazing, and knowing that, you know, they are still a part of our heart. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that we don't think about them and that we aren't full for what they've chosen to do.
That is outstanding, Gabe. Thank you so much. I think that that's such an important part, that we respect, cherish, and honor the choices that they've made, and their gift helps families such as yours become families. Right. So, yeah, that's definitely our message. I know you talked about Jonas asking questions, particularly when Ezekiel joined your family. How do you talk to your children about adoption? What sorts of questions has he asked you? And do you feel like you guys are equipped to handle those questions as he, you know, gets older?
I do. I think what I love, again, about you guys is that I know if I were ever to have a question that I didn't know how to answer, I could email or call you guys and you would help me. So I really appreciate that. But
of course.
No, he, you know, it's funny. Jonas is so in tune with things, and I don't know, I mean, he's our oldest, so to me, of course, I think he's like super smart and wonderful, but you know, I'm seeing that these questions that come up from him are I think pretty typical. You know, he's known that he was adopted from the moment that he could tell the difference, probably I would say in the color of skin, because Jonas has brown skin and we have peach skin. And so, you know, he would say things like, "Well, mommy, I have brown skin. Why do you have peach skin?" So, and actually at the time he called it blue because he could see my veins and he thought I had blue skin, which was super cute. But, you know, so we've been talking about this since as long as I can remember. And we just always tell him, you know, this is the way that God has meant for our family to be. And he chose that, you know, you would be a part of our family and that Lakia would make this choice. And he's known all along that that was going to be who we were going to be, your forever family. And he doesn't really, you know, go much beyond that. Now, like I said, he does ask questions about, you know, what, you know, he'll say, like, what was Lakia's favorite color, and what did she like to dance? Was she loud? You know, things like that. And we do have from you guys some personal information that she filled out. And so it's really cool to be able to go back to that and kind of answer some questions. But we made him an adoption book that kind of, you know, explains how he came to be a part of our family. And it explains the before, you know, while we were waiting, and you know, what happened when we got the phone call, and the preparation that went into all of that. And so there's kind of like that, you know, I would, knowing since I was pregnant with Maisie, you know, those same type of excitement that comes, you know, like the register, we have like all these pictures from when we registered for, you know, his nursery and things like that. So I think that he feels like this was a plan that was meant to have, you know, happened. This was the way that our life was supposed to have been.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way that we explain it to him, and he gets it. And I think that it will probably be very similar to that with Ezekiel. Again, there will be that bit of difference, because we will have Haley as, you know, somebody who we see often, and we have a bit more, you know, I shouldn't say a bit. We have a lot more communication with her and things that we can share. But what I think that they know, and I can say this with all of my heart, is that they are loved, and that this was the way that their life was supposed to be. And I think the more that we can reassure them of that and encourage them, and of course there's going to be those moments where they have questions that are tough, and those questions do come. And I think, again, one of the best pieces of advice that you guys gave to us was always to be 100% honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I don't know, I tell Jonas, I don't know, but this is what I do know. And, you know, I tell him, again, reassure him, I know that Lakia loved you, and I know that she made this decision because, she, you know what I mean? I try to
mm-hmm.
take it back to what we know is the truth, and
mm-hmm.
he doesn't waver from that, even at 5 years old. So I just think that's great that this has always been the way that there's no secrets, there's nothing. It's just all truth with him. So
that's so sweet. That's so sweet. So what about your extended family and friends? How has adoption impacted them, or has it?
I think it has. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of, you know, education, which again, I mean, I feel like I'm being redundant with saying that because I'm a teacher, but I think
it's important.
Like knowledge, you know, knowledge is power, and people don't, they're like we were saying with birth parents, that society sometimes does not give them the credit that they are due. And the same goes with adoption. You know, I think when you educate people, and that's what we look at our family as, that's what we're doing. We're taking our situation, and every time we encounter somebody, whether it's in a grocery store or it's at a park or even through school, you know, they see our family and they hear the way that we talk about things, and then that just kind of carries over. And so our family obviously loves and cherishes Ezekiel and Jonas. They admire our situation, and they in turn love our birth mothers because we love them. And
mm-hmm.
I think that that's probably the most important thing that I can say, is that the more that people see and talk about it and just are open and honest about what life is like when you adopt, I think that people, hopefully my hope is that people will stop, you know, having any negative type of views about adoption or birth mothers, or, you know, it will start to just kind of this chain reaction of only positive things. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I definitely think our extended family, our friends, and everybody, most importantly, I would say, you know, just through their personal view on what adoption is like, has definitely changed.
Sure, sure. And you mentioned a little bit earlier, Jonas, you know, recognizing the difference in your skin color and his skin color. Can you touch for a second on how you handle transracial and transcultural issues in your home?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we, and again, this is something that you guys have kind of instilled in us too, is that if you adopt transracially, that you become a biracial family, and you have to not only remember what it's like to be, you know, a quote-unquote white family, but then if you adopt a child of a different race, whether it be, you know, whether it be African-American, or you are, you know, you have Hispanic or Native American, any of those things, that you are now a family that has two different races. And so we honor, and we are constantly trying to learn about the African American culture. We, in our family, we celebrate Kwanzaa, and that's been just kind of something super fun for us. We've now celebrated it for 2 years, and we're also, you know, Christian, and so we kind of took the principles of Kwanzaa and we put some scripture verses with it that we've been teaching our kids, and try to do something little each day of the 7 days of Kwanzaa, just to kind of celebrate that part of our, because we do, we consider it, it is now our family's, you know, cultural past. And then this year we, and this was just 2 days ago, which is Tuesday, right? Yep, it was on Sunday, was Juneteenth, which is the day that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And this year I felt comfortable kind of explaining a little bit of that to Jonas and what that means for part of his past. And he didn't really have tons of questions, which really kind of surprised me. But, you know, we just kind of said, you know, this is a part of our country's past. And this is, you know, what happened on this day and why it's such a great thing. And really the only thing he said was, you know what, Mommy, I have brown skin too. And I was like, you do, you're right. And so I think he's just, you know, kind of, it's still sinking in with him. But we try very hard to incorporate not only music, but books and just little pieces of, you know, that culture into our life. And we have a church, the church that we go to, is more diverse than, you know, and this again on purpose. We love our church, but we love the fact that there are people of other cultures there, and it's not just, you know, only African-American and white, that there are other people that attend that church too. We have a lot of Hispanic people there, and so I think that's very important to us.
Sure.
And again, we have a play group. We have an adoption play group that has other transracially adopted families, and that is very, very important to us, for our kids to see, you know, other families that look like ours, and so that when we do have questions that come up about, you know, hair and taking care of Jonas's skin, that we can reach out not only to friends that we've made that are, you know, of a different race, but we have each other too. And we can say, hey, look, this did not work. Don't do this. And, or this is what I tried. And so all of those things, you know, we just try to make it very, very apparent to us that we are now a biracial family. So
fantastic. Fantastic, Gabe. Awesome. What is the most important thing that you would want to say to others that are considering growing their family through adoption?
Well, I would probably tell them that I believe that adoption is a miracle, and we have a sign that says that in our house, and our lives have been forever changed by adoption and by the fact that we have two amazing children who came to us through adoption. And, you know, I know when I talk to other people who are considering adopting, they're kind of like, oh, but there's the waiting and, oh, there's these questions. And, you know, like I kind of said in the beginning, none of that is out of the norm. And, you know, the cool thing is that you have resources and other people who will guide you through every step of, you know, your path. And it will be, I think probably what I say most often to people is whatever is meant to be will happen. And I think once we started looking at our family that way and really just kind of letting go of the control of trying to be like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, I mean, I remember being 26 years old and having this plan, and I was going to have a baby by the time I was 28 and all of these things. Well, you can't control life that way. And so, I guess I would want them to know that there will be, you know, a couple of hurdles that you're going to have to get over, but it really is no different than choosing to grow your family any other way. I mean, everyone has challenges that they have to go through.
Absolutely. You're right about that. So we are close to the end of our show. And I guess my final question would be, from a birth parent perspective, we do have you know, women and men listening into the show that may be finding themselves right now in a situation that they never planned, that they didn't expect. And so what would you want to say to those people, birth mothers, birth fathers, potential birth parents that may be considering making an adoption plan for their baby?
I think I would probably tell them, thank you, first of all, for considering adoption, and for listening, because obviously if you're choosing to listen to this or to kind of seek out, you know, reaching out to people who can help you make an adoption plan for your child, then you already, you care about that child so much. And I think I would want them to know that no matter the decision that they make, because some, you know, we know that a birth family could come in and wholeheartedly be thinking, okay, I'm going to make an adoption plan, and that sometimes those plans change. But either way, I think I would want them to know that they will be, that their decision will be loved and respected. And I just think that's really important, that whatever decision they do make, knowing that you will have that respect. Because I know I cannot speak from obviously being in the position of a birth family, but I do know that we just have so much love and respect for our birth families. And I know that we're not of, you know, we are not like out of the norm, that if you are an adoptive mm-hmm. family, then you already respect and love that those people already. I mean, just, and it's amazing how that happens so instantaneously. I mean, within a second of meeting both of our birth mothers, I mean, we were like, we love you. And I mean, it's an amazing feeling to be like, you love this person. You've never met them before, but you have this common bond, and it's a child. And so I guess that would probably be to want them to know that they will always be loved and respected.
Thank you for that. Thank you for so much, Gabe, for being with us today and sharing your really heartfelt story and how your family has grown through adoption. I appreciate it, and I know that our listeners do too.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And for those of you that are listening in today, please remember that we are live every Tuesday at 11 Eastern Standard Time. If you're looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may call us at 800-677-2367 or join us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. Tune in next week when we'll be speaking with Annie, who is a young woman who made an adoption plan 10 years ago. She was faced with a life-changing decision, and her story is very powerful. It's one of brokenness and redemption, so it's definitely a must-hear story. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Thank you for listening, and everyone, have a great day. Bye-bye.